Shalom. Tell your neighbor, shalom. Shalom. I heard a story about a train that was traveling through the night, and it was in a very violent rainstorm. And there were lightning flashes that were blinding, and the rain was hitting against the windows, and it was deafening as the strong, gusty winds were rocking the train from side to side. And when the lightning flashed and lit up the darkness, the passengers could see rising water that was coming up on the tracks. And that created a terror inside the minds of the passengers. And several of the passengers noted that through all the noise and the lightning and the wind, there was one passenger, and it was this little girl, and she was sitting there, and she was very peaceful. And the adult passengers were trying to figure out, you know, what was going on outside and how they were going to handle emergencies. And this little girl just sat very calm in the midst of all of the excitement. So finally, one of the adult passengers said to the little girl, he said, "How is it that you can be so calm when all the rest of us are so worried about what might happen to us?" And the little passenger smiled and said, "My father is the engineer operating this train." You see, that's the peace of shalom that we have. In the midst of life's tests and trials and things are whirling around us and things just seem to be upside down, we can have the peace of God because we have a secure relationship with our Heavenly Father. Tell your neighbor, He's in charge. Amen. Let's read, Jesus gives peace. "These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." There's more. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Jesus came to place God's shalom back into the heart and the soul of man. So Jesus is sharing with his disciples the peace that he received from God. He's sharing an inner peace. The Jews thought he came to bring peace completely to the world and to stop slavery and abuse and cruelty. But what Jesus came to do was to restore our peace, our shalom with our Heavenly Father. He came to set it at one again. And we're going to look at our definition for Eirene. From the Greek, it's peace by implication, prosperity, one. Peace, quietness, rest, set at one again. And that's what Jesus came. He came to set us at one again. Isn't it interesting that God's design to have peace between two countries was once that war was over, they began to work together. That's the true shalom. We tend to think that the absence of conflict is peace, but that's not biblical peace. And we need to understand what God means when he is talking about peace. He's the God of peace. I think Martin Luther King understood this aspect of peace because Martin Luther said, "One day we must come to see that peace is not merely a distant goal that we seek, but that it is a means by which we arrive at that goal. We must pursue peaceful ends through peaceful means." Yes, amen. So Jesus brought peace, the Eirene, into the earth realm. And as the Prince of Peace, he carried peace about him. You know, you can be around people who have an anointing of peace. And it's interesting, in our grooming shop, I used to have a customer, very well known here in Elkhart, owned owns a car lot and sells lots of cars. And she was always searching for something. And she always wore lizards and different odd necklaces around her neck. And she would come into the groom shop. And the groom shop, you know, we had lots of dogs in there, didn't we, Sean? She's not in here, but we had lots of dogs in there. And it was could get really, really noisy. And you would not think that it was a very peaceful place, but she would come in and she would tell me, she'd say, I love to come here, Janet, because there is such a peace that I feel in my heart when I come through these doors. And so we built a relationship over the years, and I was able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with her because of the anointing of peace that was upon our business. She recognized it. She was in search of that. In search of it. So Jesus carried that about, and he said to his disciples, I'm going to leave my peace with you. It's a heritage that Jesus has given to us. We can have that peace in our souls. Let's go on to our next scripture, which is in Psalm 37:37. It says, mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. The end of a perfect man, and that word perfect meaning complete and wholeness, at the end of that man, or within his life, there is a peace. Now, we all know what completes us, right? I believe everybody sitting in this place knows that it is God and the Spirit of God and our relationship with God that completes us. But it's interesting that the scripture says to mark that man. And that word mark comes from the word or the letter taw. And it is the first letter of the Torah, of the law. And that the foreheads, well, all right, here we go. And that the foreheads were marked as of men obedient to the law. So the rabbis had students that would study, and their students, disciples that were obedient to the law, they would receive that mark upon their head. And they would mark it in the sign of a cross. And it denoted the closing out of the closing the alphabet denoted a completeness. And so there is a significance when God says, mark that man. You see, we should be marked with the cross of Jesus Christ, which brings peace into our lives. It settles the account deep inside of our soul. God is marking us. We are marked people. Tell your neighbor you're marked. In the book of Ezekiel, we're not going to go there, but the intercessors who were crying out in Ezekiel 9:4, you might read that chapter. There were intercessors that were crying out because of the abomination and the sin that was going on in the city. And God said, go through and mark them. You see, intercessors are marked by the Lord God. And those that were marked were spared. Their lives were spared when destruction was released upon that city. There's something significant about being marked by God. Let's look at peace as a weapon of warfare. Peace is a part of our armor. Because peace isn't the absence of conflict. It is peace in the middle of it. Ephesians 6:15 says, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Wherever we go, you know, our feet represents our walk in life. Wherever we go, whether we're going into 7-Eleven or whether we're going into Kroger, if we're going into where we work, we're going into someone else's home to write them up a bid on a job, to do measurements, whatever it is, our feet are shod with a preparation of the gospel of peace. We take peace wherever we go. You see, Jesus said, "My peace I give unto you." So you have the peace of God. When we get more focused on God than we are focused on ourselves and all of our problems, we'll find the peace. We're not going to find the peace searching constantly inside of ourselves and examining every flaw that we have, every abuse that we suffered, or why did that person just look at me that way? When we begin to think more about God and get into His presence and our mind comes into alignment with His thoughts, you see, He's the Prince of Peace. Peace has to come. Peace has to come. It's your gift. And the scripture said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." Gabe just talked about it. We're sons and we're daughters of the Most High God. And so when we go out and about, we should be behaving ourselves in a manner that represents our Heavenly Father. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So peace is a weapon of warfare. And in Jesus gave instructions in Matthew 10, 11 through 15. Prior to that, Jesus had sent his 12 out and he commanded them and gave them instructions on what to do. And he told them to preach the kingdom of heaven. And he said, "Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you've received, now I want you to freely give." Okay, this was his instructions. Did you know these are your instructions too? Your instructions are to heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely we've received this, now freely we're going to give this. So let's read his instructions going on from there. He said, "Now, whatever city or town you enter, inquire who in it is worthy and stay there till you go out. And when you go into a household, greet it. If the household is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whoever will not receive you nor hear your words, when you depart from that house or city, shake off the dust from your feet. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city." That's pretty powerful words. This is Jesus talking. He's saying to his disciples, when you go into a town, when you go into a city, you find out who's worthy. Well, then that tells me you don't connect with everybody. Hello. There are people that God is working in their hearts and their lives. We've got to connect with them. Not the people that you think you want to connect with, or you think that they need Jesus, or you think that you can help this person. We are not the rescuer. We get ourselves in so much trouble trying to rescue people and getting into the middle of their affairs when God never told us to. So when you go into the city, when you're out and about in the workplace, ask the Lord who is worthy. And you share your peace with them. Because you see, the Holy Spirit is hovering over them. When we were down at CI Friday night, Apostle Leon asked me to give a corporate word over the meeting. And what the Lord showed me was that the Holy Spirit is hovering over areas of our life. Do you know, in the very beginning, the Holy Spirit hovered over the chaos, hovered over the darkness. And then Jesus, our God, began to speak, "Let there be light." And the word of the Lord and the power of the Holy Spirit combined, and there was light. So what God is doing in our lives, the Holy Spirit is hovering over areas of our life. And God wants you to decree and declare with your own mouth the word of the Lord into that situation so that there is an explosion of the fire and power of God and that situation begins to turn around. We've heard this is a turnaround time. The prophets keep saying this is a turnaround time. Well, that just doesn't mean that you just get to sit back and watch God turn it around like we're watching a movie or a DVD. This is not just something that's on YouTube for you to watch. No, it is something that we are actively involved in. We are actively involved in what God is doing in our lives. And we have the word of God, the promises of God. We have our prophecies. Prophesy again where the Spirit of God is hovering over your life. Ask the Lord what you're supposed to release life into. It's not about what we want. It's not about our time frame. It's not about what we think should happen next. It is all about what God is doing. And getting in tune with what God is doing. And he said that for those that reject his peace, come on, for those who reject his peace, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Now, if you go back and study about Sodom and Gomorrah back in Genesis, God destroyed that city because of the wickedness that was there. The scripture says the men were wicked and they were evil. And they refused to repent. They just kept going on with their agenda. And he had a man of God in there and his name was Lot. And he sent two angels to him to help lead him out of that city because there were not enough righteous people in that town for God to save it. And when Lot was led out of that city, he rained a fire and brimstone upon that city and burnt it, destroyed everything. And Lot and his family were the only ones that made it out. So it's going to be worse for those who respect or reject the gospel of peace than that. Come on, let's think about how serious this is. We're talking about handing out books. We're talking about giving calendars and inviting people to church so that they can hear the good news of the gospel. And you can share the good news of the gospel. We come into church to receive from the Lord. We come together because together we build up a place of habitation, a spiritual habitation with the Lord. And so we have opportunities to share the gospel with other people. It's not up to us whether or not they receive it. That is totally up to God. What are we supposed to do? We're just supposed to walk on out, shake the dust off of our feet. In other words, don't let anything hold on to you. Elder Sylvia, she'll go like this. Somebody starts saying something she don't agree with, she'll just start taking it off. I'm not taking that on. You see her do that? Yeah, she does that. Now she's got us all doing it. Yeah, you don't have to say too much. But you can just go like this. People get the idea. Stop speaking all that negativity. Come on. We are not called to speak negativity. So we are to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And we're going to keep moving along here in Ephesians 4, 1 through 6. Let's read it together. Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Isn't that right, Tess? He's in y'all. Yes, hallelujah. True peace requires taking what is broken and restoring it again. That is the rich meaning of peace in the Bible. We are instruments of God's peace, and God's peace is a weapon of our warfare. Our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We bring the good news of the gospel, of God's government, and of His peace. There will be no end. It's never going to end. We serve a God of peace who will soon crush Satan underneath our feet, right? We talked about that last week. So we work at it. Tell your neighbor, you got to work at it. God's given us peace, and now we have to learn how to give that peace away and bring shalom into situations. To bring that oneness once again. To make it complete once again. When you're fighting with your spouse. Or when your kids are at each other. We are to bring peace into that situation. The peace of God. Let's make it at one again. Unity between a husband and wife is so important. The enemy knows that if he can drive a rod between the two of you, your prayers will not be heard. And that's what the scripture says. I didn't make that up. That's what the word says. Your prayers are not heard. Unity is so important. When you have unity and you agree together and you pray together and your family prays with you, God honors that. We honor God. We serve our family to release shalom, keep wholeness, completeness. And then we serve in the church. And we have a responsibility there. Amen. Because that's God's family. You're sitting by your brothers and you're sitting by your sisters. And God don't like it when you're fighting with each other. All right, let's go on. Nobody yelled amen, so hallelujah. We'll just move right along. Thank you, Jesus. No, we have a really peaceful group, and I'm very thankful for that peace. I fired an employee for disturbing my peace. You get arrested for disturbing the peace, right? If she had disturbed my peace one too many times, I was done with it. Leonard calls me Mrs. Trump. You're fired. Out the door. And that's exactly what I told her. She had had three warnings. You have disturbed my peace too many times. This is my place. And once again, the witness of the business and other business owners and people who are constantly dealing with conflict and negativity coming into my business. Now, I'm responsible for the atmosphere and the covering over that place. And I wanted it to be peaceful. For me especially, I need my peace. But also, you want your customers to experience that when they walk through the door. Hallelujah. So you can't have an employee that's constantly stirring up trouble, right? Come on. Either get with the vision or get out. Yeah, I like that. Just say it, Terry, or get out. You're fired. Hallelujah. So she was disturbing my peace, and that's the next question. What disturbs your peace? Jay's not here, but I'm sure he's arrested people for disturbing the peace. We've had outreaches and played the music too loud and got in trouble because we were disturbing someone's peace. But I have a few examples here This first one, they're just illustrations. A person went to their therapist and was there because they just could not find peace. And their therapist told them, you need to go home and you need to finish some things. Your peace is so disturbed because you're not finishing things. So call me in a few hours and let me know what you went home and finished. And so they called their therapist back, and the client said, I have finished 2 bags of potato chips and a chocolate cake. And I feel better already. Oh, yeah, I can relate to that one. Another illustration, there was a pastor preaching one Sunday morning, and he could tell his congregation was just getting irritated and restless, and so after a very long and boring sermon, the parishioners, they filed out of the church, and none of them said anything to the preacher. But towards the end of the line, there was a thoughtful person who thought he should comment on it. And he said, Pastor, today your sermon reminded me of the peace and the love of God. And the pastor was thrilled. He says, no one said anything to me today. Tell me why you feel that way. And he said, well, it reminded me of the peace of God because it passed all my understanding. And the love of God because it endured forever. Okay. I do have one more. Illustration. Just talking about what disturbs your peace. Is this going too long? Okay. We're almost done. Okay, so I'm just going to read it to you. As the storm raged, the captain realized his ship was sinking fast. And he called out and he said, is there anyone here who knows how to pray? And one man stepped forward and said, I, Captain, I know how to pray. And the captain said, good. You pray while the rest of us put on our life jackets because we're one short. Now that would disturb my peace. Oh. Let's put up our scripture, okay? Romans 8, 5 through 6. Read it with me. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Let's read our next scripture. Isaiah 26:3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. And Romans 12:2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So through these scriptures, we understand that to be spiritually minded is going to bring us life and peace. To be carnally minded brings us death. It disturbs our peace. God keeps us in perfect peace when we're thinking about him. It's getting ourselves out of the earth realm because we can get pulled down and pulled in to the earth realm. But looking to God to see where the Holy Spirit is hovering over our situation. Because when we began to understand the moving of the Spirit, and God is moving in your life. God is moving in this place. He is hovering over the word of the Lord. And as we pray, and as we release the word of God, God begins to turn things around. It takes all of us praying together. Henry Ford said, if you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always had. Are you ready to do something different? Are you ready? It's time. It is time. I agree, Leslie. It's time. It is time for a turnaround. Let's read on. We're going to close with three more scriptures. Is that okay? I love the word. The word of God is what changes us. The word of God is what renews our mind. It is what breaks off ungodly beliefs and restores to us his truth. It's the truth that sets us free. So let's read together. Romans 16:20. And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. I love that verse. The God of peace is crushing the enemy under our feet. You see, when we begin to release the word of God is sharp, it's powerful, and it divides the soul and the spirit. And the scripture says the word of God performs what it is sent out to do. So as we release the word of God, it destroys the diabolical schemes of the enemy that are coming against us. Remember, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. But there is a war that is going on in the heavenlies, and whether you want to engage in the war or not, you are in a war. We are in the army of the Lord. This is what attracted us to CI years ago, because Bishop has taught for years that we are the army of the Lord. We are warriors, and we are here to execute God's judgments in the earth that are already written. We're not making them up. We're getting them from the word of God. And so when we really believe that as soldiers, we are able to release God's word, and it combines with what the Holy Spirit is doing, and we begin to see the change. We've been studying this on Wednesday nights, Planting the Heavenlies. And it's been an amazing book. If you didn't get a chance to read that book, I would encourage you, you can order it off of Amazon. But it is about releasing God's word to bring turnarounds in situations. And what God is highlighting to you, there was an area that Laura shared that's going on in the world, in the United States. There was something that she shared with us on Wednesday night. And you know, when God begins to share those things, that's your prayer assignment. Hello. You know, God shows us stuff. It's our prayer assignment. We are prayers. It is our responsibility to pray. If we're not praying, nothing's going to happen. I was asked to be one of the main speakers at the Women's Conference for Christian International down at the CI Heartland retreat in May. And the title of our conference is Pray, and Then It Happens. We've got to pray. We want things to happen without us being engaged in it. And I really think a lot of that is from things are just at our fingertips. Americans like things fast, fun, and easy. And we're entertained, and it happens for us. Well, when you come to the River of Life, you find out you're a part of this church, and things don't just happen without everybody working together. Because we're not here to entertain. We are here to listen to what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us. And today he is saying to us that he is hovering over situations in our life, and he's calling you to get on your knees and to pray and release his promise into that situation, and you'll see your turnaround. Hallelujah. You can start the music. You'll see a turnaround come into your life. Let's go on and read our next two scriptures. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 and 24. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. And Hebrews 13:20-21. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's read that and replace the you's with a me as we're closing today. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make me complete in every good work to do his will, working in me what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's give the Lord a praise today. Let's stand today as we're getting ready to go. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you, Lord, that your word renews mind. And I pray for everyone that has heard this message today and all of those that will hear this message on the airwaves. God, we thank you that you are renewing our mind and you are releasing your peace and you are giving us a supernatural understanding of where the Holy Spirit is hovering in our lives, Lord God, that we can pray and release your promise into those areas. Lord, I thank you for River of Life family, friends, and guests today. Lord, bless them and keep them, and may your face shine upon them. Lord, be gracious to them, and Lord, give them your peace. And the church said, amen, amen. Amen. If you did not receive a bookmark or a proclamation card about the peace of God, if you will raise your hand, Patty would be glad to hand you one. If you did not receive one of these, every month we'll have a special theme that we will come together for the month. And this month, ours is on the peace of God. Amen. We need his peace in the midst of what's going on in our world. And we're not going to find peace anyplace else, but from the source, our Father of peace. So if our elders will come forward this morning, if you need prayer today, will you please come forward to receive prayer? And if you have never asked the Lord to be your Lord and Savior and you feel him tugging on your heart today, will you please come up and speak with one of our elders today? And so we love you. God bless you and strengthen you and keep you as you go. In Jesus' name, amen.